Good morning. I'm going to share the message with you this morning. I'm very excited about that. As we're ministering on eternity and being driven by eternity and getting our hearts on heaven and not only on earth. So this is something very close to our hearts because God has been dealing with me and Andre since last year about this whole thing of heaven and eternity and how do we need to live on earth if this is actually for a very short while, and we're going to spend most of our lives in heaven if we have a relationship with God. So Andre dealt with a topic last week of one big thing that can hold us back to not being eternally minded, and that is fear. For those of you who are here, he spoke about the fear of failure, the fear of death, which is a big thing for many of us. And this morning, I also want to touch on something that could be an obstacle. It could be something that's holding us back to focus on eternity, something very real for all of us, and that is our treasures on earth. Our treasures on earth. And I just want to pray before I continue, I just want to pray for our hearts that God will just reveal whatever he wants us to see this morning. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your word that is living and powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, God, cutting even to the division of soul and spirit and of bone and marrow. And this is what I pray for this morning, God, for your word to cut to our hearts, for your word, Lord, to come and bring revelation and transformation, Lord, that we will not this morning only be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers of the word. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you'll have your way in our midst, that you'll come with your presence, Lord, and just open our eyes for the truth. That you'll open our eyes, Lord, for what it really means to store up treasures in heaven. So we just consecrate this time to you, Lord, and we welcome you here. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read you a quote from I want to read you a quote from Randy Alcorn. He's a well-known author. It will be on the screen. It says, "Talking about death won't bring it a moment sooner, but it will give us an opportunity to prepare for what lies ahead. If life's greatest certainty is death, wouldn't it be foolish not to prepare for what lies beyond this life? Any life that leaves us unprepared for death is a wasted life." That's in one of his books, Randy Alcorn. You know, and I often thought, you know, to deal with death and to deal with eternity, the best way to deal with it is just to ignore it. Obviously, you know, if you die, you're going to heaven, if you have a relationship with God. But when it comes to the pain and the uncertainty and the especially when it comes to your loved ones, thank you, Sunil. when it comes to your loved ones, I always thought the best way is just to say, we're not going to die soon, we're going to live until we're like 90 years old, and we're going to have a full life, and not even thinking about death. I always thought that is the right way to deal with it. And God really opened my eyes in the last while to realize there's actually not the right way to deal with that. The right way to deal with eternity or death is to actually face it, to talk about it. This man, Randy Alcorn, he also, in one of his books, he says always when he goes away, he's a traveling speaker as well, so he often goes away from home. He will tell his children, "I'm not planning that anything will happen to me, but if I don't come back, I'm going to see you in heaven." Now, how's that for radical? I always thought, no way. You don't say that to your child or to your wife. You don't say that. You don't even mention it. And you know what? Thinking about this whole concept of speaking about death, speaking about eternity, it actually started setting me free in my heart. To realize that this life is short and we are going to meet again in heaven. You know, if anything happens to any one of us, if you know God, and we'll come to the side of heaven and hell and choosing life or death on this earth. We'll come to that. But assuming that all of us this morning know God, we're going to meet again. And that will be forever. That will be for a lifetime. I want to take you to a scripture in Matthew 6. Coming back to our treasures, Matthew 6, verse 9 to 21. This will be my key scripture for the morning. So if you have your Bibles here, you can turn there, but it will be on the screen as well. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." This is the reality, for all of us. "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I don't know if you've thought about this in the past, but why do we need to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven? I mean, we always hear the stories about the golden streets and everything gold. I mean, isn't there going to be enough treasures in heaven? Why do we need to now store up extra treasures in heaven? And I want to explain to you this morning why this scripture is so important and so relevant. And first of all, we need to realize that heaven is our home. We need to realize that heaven is our home. And I know for most of us it doesn't make sense, but I want to paint this picture for you. Imagine you're flying from East London to Cape Town. How many of you have done that, flying from East London to Cape Town? Okay, from East London to Joburg. Okay, most of you have been in an aeroplane, I hope. If you haven't been, don't worry. I wish I never need to fly. I don't like flying. But in any case, you're on your way from East London to Cape Town on a aeroplane. It's about, what, hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, if they know what they're doing, okay, if the weather is playing its part. But now you're sitting next to this lady on the aeroplane, and when she gets down, make herself comfortable, and then she starts taking out paintings. She asks specifically for the window seat, and now she's hanging up the paintings. And the curtains, she's taking out nice curtains, hanging it, paintings, photographs, nice flowers, making it home. And you ask her, "What on earth are you doing? We're gonna land soon." "No, but this is a long trip. It's an hour and a half. It's a very long trip. I must make myself as comfortable as possible. It must feel like home. It must feel, I need to enjoy this time. This next hour and a half, I really need to enjoy this." And you think, "Oh my words, it's an hour and a half." Then you're at your destination. Do you know what? This is what we do. I want you to think about it this morning. This is exactly what we do. Our life on earth compared to eternity it's an hour and a half. It's a flight from East London to Cape Town. It's an hour and a half. And what we do is, in our little space, in our little corner, we store up treasures for ourselves, as many treasures, as much as we can, because we think this is life. We really think this is it. And we don't think beyond. We don't think, "Oh, in an hour and a half we're going to land in Cape Town." No, we're only focusing on this next hour and a half, which is our life now. You know, I often think about financial advisors who will tell us, all of us, we need to make provision for our retirement. I mean, all of us hear that all the time. And I know some of us do that. Have you ever heard a financial advisor telling you to make provision for heaven? Anyone? I've never heard that. Because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, how can you make provision for heaven if you don't even have money for retirement? Because many of us are in that position. You don't even have money to retire. How can you possibly invest money in heaven? It doesn't make sense until you realize that heaven is our home. It's truly our home, and I know it's mind-boggling. It doesn't make sense. We battle to understand that, but this is why we talk about eternity, just to give you a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. The second reason why we need to store up treasures in heaven is whatever we do in this life will echo in eternity. You know that, eh? Whatever we do in this life will echo in eternity. Let me take you to a scripture in 1 Timothy 6, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to talk about that more towards the end. But it says, command them to do good. This is all of us, because the Apostle Paul is talking in this letter. He's talking to the rich people, and I'll explain to you throughout this morning that we are blessed and that we are actually rich, even though no one of you think. I know nobody thinks that they are rich, but we are rich. And the scripture says, command them to do good, to do rich in good deeds, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, listen to this, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. I'm going to come back to this, but the second reason is whatever we do with our money and possessions on earth will somehow have an effect in eternity. How exactly, I can't explain to you, but the Bible is clear that whatever we do with our treasures here on earth will impact eternity. We will actually store up for ourselves a firm foundation, treasure for a firm foundation for the coming age, that is heaven, so that we may take hold of life that is truly life. That's the second one. The third one, which I want to focus on more, is it will keep us from foolishness. It will keep us from foolishness. And I want to take you to a parable that will explain that in Luke 12, verse 15 to 21. It was Jesus speaking. And he told them a story. He told them a story. A rich man. I'm going to read this to you, so you can just follow. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. Okay, a successful farmer. He said to himself, what shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops. I just don't have too, I have too much, but I don't have space. It's like having a third car. Now, where am I going to park my car? Where's my stand outside in the rain? Oh, my word, it's a huge problem. Okay, this guy, he has the same problem. Okay, he has so many things, but he doesn't have room for his crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back, okay. Just picture this guy. Oh, sit back. And I'll say to myself, my friends, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. What does that sound? Like this buzzword in our society nowadays? Financial independence. Did somebody say that? Financial independence. We just all want to be financially independent, where we can sit back and take it easy. I mean, we, after all, we've really worked hard to come to a place of financial independence, didn't we? We worked really hard. Now we can sit back. But God said to him, not his friend, not his colleague, not his mother-in-law or his father-in-law. God said to him, you fool. This is quite strong, eh? For God to come to you and to tell you that you're a fool. You will die this very night. This is a parable. Okay, it's a story, so you can all relax. Jesus said he told them a story. God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. And then who will get everything you worked for? Who will get everything he worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. What I want you to notice here is God did not tell him, you are a fool because you are rich. Okay, you have to note this. He was not a fool because of his wealth, because of his possessions, because he was a good farmer, because he was a successful farmer. No. God said, you're a fool because you're storing up treasures on earth, not taking into account the age to come. You're only focusing on the here and the now. And if you die tonight, what then? What then? Who's going to look after all your stuff? It's so unproductive, even though he feels that it's so productive. I want to read you another quote by John Tillotson. He was a British theologian, was born in 1630, he died in 1694. He said, he provides for this life, but does not take care of eternity, is wise for a moment, but a fool forever. Interesting, eh? He who provides for this life, but does not take care of eternity, is wise for a moment, but he's a fool forever. See, what I've realized is the danger of storing up treasures on earth is it can cost us. If we only store up treasures on earth, and I know this is a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, shouldn't we store up treasures on earth, make provision for retirement, make provision for our children's studies and university? There's nothing wrong with that, okay? This is not what I'm trying to say this morning. But I've realized that only focusing on that can cost us dearly. It could actually cost us our salvation. If we come to a place of independence, we're financially independent, but we're also independent of God. We can so easily become independent of God if we only focus on our treasures on earth. So maybe you think, oh, Sonika, really? It's not that serious, eh? It's not that serious. I'm not like that guy. I don't even have one barn. I don't even have a car. Or maybe I have an old car. I mean, there's no way in which I can ever become a rich fool. So I want to take you to a scripture in Deuteronomy, just to show you how easy it is to become a rich fool who store up treasures on earth but not in heaven. Deuteronomy 8. But this is the time to be careful. This is where the Israelites now moved from Egypt. Okay, God rescued them from slavery. They moved through the desert. Took a long time, but eventually now they're in the promised land. The land of milk and honey, and God starts blessing them. Okay, this is the background. Now it says, but this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. There you have it. You're all clever people, eh? You can listen without looking, I'm sure. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and your gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. He did all of this. I'm still in Deuteronomy, okay? Now we jump to Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you power to be successful. And this, for me, is such an important scripture in the Bible, because this can keep us from destruction. This can keep us from turning our eyes from God looking to our own ability and our own strength. And let me tell you, it's easy to forget. Once we have our qualification, our breakthrough, our business, our promotion, the girl of our dreams, the car that we've always wanted, it's easy to forget the Lord. It's easy to all of a sudden then not remember the times when you battled, when you struggled, when you cried out to God for breakthrough. It's easy, people. It's easy. I mean, most of you know, I studied accounting in Stellenbosch, and for my final exams, I had to write 2 5-hour papers, which was a big nightmare for me and all of my fellow students, all my maikis. We stressed, okay? We stressed big time. And what happened to me is I failed my first one. You write, you do your degree, you do your honors, and then after that, when you start your articles, you write these 2 5-hour papers. Well, that was in my days. They've changed it again. And I failed the first one, and I knew I can't do this without God. Accounting at school was easy for me, okay? When I got to varsity, I got the shock of my life. It was all of a sudden really, really difficult. And I said, God, I can't do this without you. There's no way. I failed my first one, and how I handled that and how it's, what God did in my life is a story for another day, okay? But I failed, and I had to write it again. You get one chance per year to write these exams. And it's these kind of exams, you know, when you get to the fourth hour, you think, they're mad. How can they do this to us? They're crazy. Nobody can do this. This is just crazy. But in any case, you see, I still have issues, lots of issues I need to deal with. So I failed. Okay, I failed this big, big exam. I had to write it again. And I felt in my heart that God said to me, Sonika, you will pass next time. I told nobody about it because I was so scared. But I knew I can't do this without God. Andre prayed for me. It was a 5-hour exam. Every 45 minutes, he set his alarm. Then he starts praying for me. Commitment, eh? He just knew this girl needs to pass this exam. And I did pass, and I passed the second one as well. But you know what? A year down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, it's very easy to forget. It's very easy to forget. When you have your qualification, you have your promotion and your salary and your everything, and people look up to you. Hey, all of a sudden, now you're this amazing person. And it's highly overrated, okay? A good qualification is highly overrated, okay? We, in our society, if we have a degree or some fancy qualification, it's so easy to forget the Lord. It's so easy. Because obviously you have worked hard. You have put in the overtime. You've put in the hours. You are smart. I mean, it's in your genes. I mean, your dad is smart. Your mom is smart. Your sister is smart. Your brother is smart. Obviously, you are also smart. It's easy to forget the Lord as soon as we have our breakthrough. And I want to make you aware of it this morning. You know, it's the same thing when it comes to financial independence, that I always thought it's a good thing to pursue financial independence, because obviously then you can do what God wants you to do. You can sit back and say, let's enjoy life. God, you have anything for me to do maybe? I'm so enjoying life. I can just sit back. Where's my magazine? My drink? Holiday for the rest of my life. Financial independence, eh? I thought it's a good idea. Until I realized that when I looked around and I saw not a lot of people who are financially independent who actually do what God wants them to do. I know people like that. I know people like that, and I really admire them. I think this is amazing. But I've realized our goal as Christians should not be to become financially independent like that rich fool in the Bible. Because that only to store up treasures on earth only can lead to destruction. It can make our hearts turn away from the Lord. Okay, this is why God says we must store up treasures in heaven. We should not only store up treasures on earth. Our goal as Christians, I believe, should be to move from financial stress to financial peace. And if you become financially independent in the process, great. Okay? If this is part of your journey and it happens and it's fine, but if that is your one and only goal in life, to become financially independent, to reach a point where you can retire at 40 and do nothing, it could lead to your destruction. Okay? I'm not saying it will. It could. It could. This is why the Bible says we need to store up treasures in heaven and not only on earth. We did a series on this last year. We want to hand out a couple of books for those of you who are interested, because I can't go into that this morning. I want to come to how we're going to store up treasures in heaven. But if there's anybody who's interested, we did a series last year called The Generosity Ladder. We spoke about how to move from financial stress to financial peace. It changed my own life. We did a seminar on how to get out of debt, how to budget, how to be careful of materialism, how this whole thing about treasures on earth can steal what God has in store for us. Many of you do have those books and the series on it's a recording, audio recording. If anybody would like that, you can just raise your hand quickly. If the kids, if you can maybe take one per hostel and just share among you if you're interested. Anybody who would like that, you can have it for free. It's a book by Nelson Searcy, and it's also the whole series we did last year, because I won't be able to repeat what I've said. It really sets me free. Anybody else who would like that? Anybody else? It's for free. You don't have to pay. I love free stuff. I love bargains. So just go for it, okay? But just read it as well. Please read it. Please listen to it. Please pass it on to a friend. I know this is sometimes hard to face this reality, because we want to store up treasures on earth. Okay? We want to come to a place where we can provide for our family, where we have money for our children to go to university. I know that. All those things are fine. Okay? You can drive in a nice car. Okay? You're allowed to do that. I'm going to show you now a scripture that says God gives us all things to enjoy. Nothing wrong with that. We just need to also move our hearts from earth to heaven, and not only be focused on earth. And I just want to touch on that the last couple of minutes. How do we store up treasures in heaven? Remember we said, why do we need to do that? Because our home is heaven. Because whatever we do with our treasures here will echo in eternity, and it will keep us from foolishness. It will keep us from becoming independent of God. Okay, that is why. God is not trying to be funny. He's not trying to be a spoil sport. He knows us. So how do we do that? How do we store up treasures in heaven? Matthew 6 verse 21. Remember that says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how do we store up treasures in heaven? We need to move our hearts. I'll explain to you now how we're going to do that. We need to move our hearts from earth to heaven. I want to show you something else as well that will be on the screen. What we do with our money doesn't simply indicate where our heart is. According to Jesus, it also determines where our heart goes. I want you to think about that. Because obviously, if you have a certain hobby and that is important to you, if there's a certain sport that you like, you're going to spend money on that. Okay? If there's anything important to you in life, you will spend money on that. So that will indicate where your heart is. Okay? That's the first thing we need to understand. But it doesn't only indicate where our heart is. It also indicates where our heart goes. Our money also indicates where our heart goes. So what do I mean by that? We can move our hearts by moving our treasures. We can move our hearts by moving our treasures. Many people say, oh, I wish I have more of a heart for missions. Well, put your money there. Okay? I wish I have more of a heart for the poor. You know what Leanne and Sean did at their wedding? It was so special. I've never been to any wedding like Sean and Leanne's wedding. In the invitation, they said, please, can you all bring a tin of food? Everybody had to bring a tin of food. They put it in a big basket, and they took it to a place here in East London. They just donated food for people in need. I thought, wow. You know what? That is putting your treasure in heaven, putting your heart in heaven. Sometimes we wish we have more of a heart for the poor, more of a heart for the church. Well, put your money there, and your heart will follow. It's amazing. I've experienced that in my own life. Sometimes we wait and we wait and we wait until we have a heart. It might never happen. Your heart might never move to that place. Your heart might never move from earth to heaven until you move your treasure. Okay, does it make sense to you? I've really experienced it in my own life that the moment I start moving my treasure, it's like starting to date a girl. I remember my one brother, he's now single again. He had a girl at a stage. And my mom said to me, Sonika, he's putting all his money. All his money is going into this girl. I thought, great, let him just do that. Just go for it. This is what happens. The moment we have a priority the moment our heart moves, our money moves as well, or our possessions will move as well. You wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind spending money on this new love you found. Hey? And in the same way, as soon as we move our heart purposefully, we wouldn't mind anymore. We wouldn't mind. Because we would want to give. We would want to store up treasures in heaven. Because our hearts are there. But sometimes we need to move our hearts first. Sometimes we need to move our hearts first. And God is interested in our hearts. Okay? God is not interested in all our stuff. But if it's at the cost of our hearts, if there's no place for Him in our hearts, we have to move our stuff. Okay, if our hearts are so full of treasures, earthly treasures, there's no space for God. We have to move it. We have to move it. God is interested in our hearts. You know, many of you know this story, but I just want to tell you a little bit something I don't think we've told before. 5-6 years ago, all our friends were getting into the market. They were building houses. It was this big boom, okay, of people building and buying and madness in the property market, okay? You just had to have a house. It's just you had to have a house, your own house. And, you know, all our friends were getting into the market, and I started putting pressure on my husband. We must get into the market. We must get into the market. We must now have our own little place. And he kept telling me, Matsunika, we're going to have this beautiful home in heaven. I thought, what? I'm not interested in my house in heaven. No, I want, yeah, that'll be cool one day. But no. I want my own place here on earth. And so we did get our own place on earth, okay? Lots of suffering, yeah. Lots of suffering for Andre. I just chose all the nice taps and tiles, and you know, I just went with him because he suffered. He suffered with the building project. I just enjoyed it, okay? This is how it's meant to be. It's meant to be. The husband must suffer and the wife must just enjoy it, okay? I was very much, focused on earth and my own home on earth. And long story, but when we moved to East London, we had to sell our little place, okay? My beautiful dream house. You know, if anybody at that stage would ask me, Sonika, if I give you 5 million rand now, what will you do with it? I would have said, I will build my dream house. This is, was very much, important to me. And I was always paging through all those nice magazines, you know, those nice homeowner, Aloy Quickies. We enjoy houses, we still do. We always take a tour. When we go to anybody's house, we take a tour. We enjoy that. So we had to sell our house, and I originally thought if I ever have to sell this house, I'm going to die. I'm simply just going to die because I love my place. And weird enough, from the beginning, I had this feeling that we would have to give up this place, but I just ignored that feeling, okay? After 2 years after we moved in, we had to sell because we moved to East London. And the better financial decision would have been to keep the house and to rent it out. That would have been the better financial decision. Both of us felt we need to sell. It stood empty for about 10 months. We lost a lot of money. You don't want to know how much. A lot. And I thought, why are we not renting this place out? It's the best financial decision. I just knew. I knew we had to sell it. Both of us had peace. We need to sell it. And you know what? Looking back, I know why we had to sell that place. Because I had to move my heart. We had to close that chapter in Cape Town and start a new chapter here in East London. You know, and often I think, I wish we never had built the house. We would have had a couple of 100,000 rand just to maybe buy something here in East London. And I just know we had to lose the money. We had to go through that whole thing to move our hearts. You know, for the first time in my life, since about, 2 years ago, well, actually when we moved here 3 years ago, for the first time, I'm content. I don't have this thing in me. We need to have our own place. I promise you, the way I feel now, I will rent for the rest of my life. But it cost me. I had to move my heart from earth to heaven. I'm actually really looking forward to my house in heaven. You know, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. I'm going to prepare a place for you, a mansion. There's a mansion waiting for us in heaven. And please, if you have your own home, please enjoy it. Okay? It's awesome to have your own place. But for me, it was a thing God had to take out of my heart. I had to move my heart from earth to heaven. And the only way God could do that for me in terms of a physical dwelling place was to go through that process of building my dream little place and having to sell it and move 1,000 kilometers away and just experience God's blessing. Experience that, I mean, I never want to go back to that house. I never want to, because what we have here is just so much more. So much more. I want to end off with one scripture. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. I touched on that when I said, whatever we do on earth will echo in eternity, okay? I'm just going to take it a little bit further. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. I'm almost finished. It says, command those who are rich. And I know you don't think you're rich, but if your car sleeps in its own room, if you pour drinking water on the grass, if you stand in front of your cupboard wondering what to wear, if you have even just one day a year that you take holiday but you get paid for doing nothing, you are rich. Okay? We are rich. I can give you many other examples. we are rich. Command those who are rich, this is for us. In the present age, this is earth, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly, listen to this, you can enjoy this, who richly provide us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't feel guilty if you have money. Don't feel guilty if you have a house or a car. It's counterproductive. It's not going to mean anything to anybody. Please enjoy it. I give you permission to enjoy your nice new car. Just enjoy it. You don't have to feel guilty about it. God provides richly for our enjoyment. But now, together with this whole thing of enjoying what we have, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, that is heaven, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If we are not rich in good deeds, generous, and willing to share, we will never take hold of something that is really life. We will think we enjoy life, but it will be temporary. It will actually be empty. But the moment we start moving our treasure from earth to heaven by being rich in good deeds, being generous and willing to share, this is the practical. This is how we move our hearts. Okay? Rich in good deeds, generous. This is what, for those of you who haven't heard our series last year, we spoke about generosity. Climbing the generosity ladder, okay? Starting somewhere. Just starting somewhere and moving up. Slowly but surely becoming more and more generous, willing to share. So I want to ask you this morning. I want to challenge myself. Am I good? Am I rich in good deeds? Am I generous? Am I really generous? Or do I just give and it doesn't really cost me anything? Do I just give like, oh, well, there's 10 rand here and 30 rand there. If I don't have it, so what? Does it really cost us to be generous? Are we willing to share? Are we willing to share? This is the only way that we'll be able to store up treasures in heaven. We will lay up for ourselves a good foundation for the time to come. And we will take hold of life that is truly life. You know, one of my dreams, I'm gonna end off with this, but I want you now to listen carefully. I want you to hear my heart. One of my dreams for us as a church is to become strong financially, okay? Not only to take care of our own needs, but to be ready to give, willing to share, to be rich in good deeds, to be truly rich in good deeds. You know, I know about a pastor in East London, in a poor community. He's a builder on the side. Okay, he's a pastor and a builder because the church can't support him. They work with a budget of about 5,000 rand a month. It's a church. I go, what do you do with 5,000? What do you do? You can't even rent a place. You can't really do anything, okay? But they're having church. They're making it work the best way possible. I pray that God will help us as individuals and as a church to store up treasures in heaven, to be ready to share, willing to give, to be generous, not only to look to our own needs. You know, just look around. We have doctors. We have dietitians, lots of them in this house, checking up on all of us. We have teachers, we have accountants, we have engineers. We are blessed. We are a rich church. But the statistics unfortunately say that the richer we get, the less we give, percentage-wise. It's like that woman with the two mites, that story in the Bible where she gave the two mites and the rich people just like, oh, you know, there's 100 rand, there's 200. She gave everything that she had. And unfortunately, the richer we get, the less we give. And God has given us so much as a church, so much as individuals. And my prayer is that we will be able to move our hearts from earth to heaven as a church. Not only one, you know, I never just want one individual who give 50,000 rand a month and the rest of us just give nothing. I don't want that money. I don't want somebody giving 50,000 rand a month and the rest of us don't give anything. No. I want everybody to give something. This is how we're going to move our hearts from earth to heaven. This is how we as a church are going to store our treasures in heaven. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't feel guilty about what you have. Enjoy what you have. But start praying about your wealth, your possessions, your salary, what you have, your heart. And say, God, show me. Show me how to move this from earth to heaven. Show me. Show me how to move my heart. Amen.